When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kander Outdoors. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home. Presented to you by Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. Welcome back to our camp house, this old camp house, Kinder Outdoors. Front door to the camp house brought to you by a great product that I've used for many, many years, Fortiflora. It's a probiotic for our dogs. All of our dogs suffer from GI upset from time to time, and Fortiflora fixes that. Learn more about it at kinderoutdoors.com. Glad you're here. We're going to scout fall deer in the spring. There's a lot of stuff that we can be doing right now to work towards success in the deer woods this fall. Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, reviews spring scouting for whitetails on the show today. A lot of people are catching giant Sherlunker bass in Texas, trophy catch bass in Florida, giant largemouth bass on the Delta down in California. And you want to make sure that when the fish of a lifetime takes your bait, that you are equipped to fight that fish. You don't want to go bear hunting with a switch. Kelly Jordan has caught as many giant, I'm talking giant bass, out of Lake Fork, Texas, as anybody, more than most folks. And he's going to help us build the perfect big bass outfit today. Joe Masacchio from Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing is going to talk us through spring and summer opportunities, hogs, exotics. And Roy Holdridge with True Life Taxidermy is here as well. He's going to help us out with those big game mounts. What if you shoot that elk halfway across the country and you really need to preserve the pelt and the antlers? What are the steps there as opposed to a 30-minute trip to the taxidermist from the local pasture? We'll cover it all with Roy on the show today. Pull up a chair. Make yourself at home. The coffee's hot, and the conversation is good. In the camp house at Kinder Outdoors, brought to you by Patriot Mobile. I'm getting notes from fish and game departments from coast to coast. This one happens to be from my friends at the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. Hey, Billy, remind everybody to leave the little ones alone. Folks are headed outdoors, and you're going to notice more wildlife in your backyard, neighborhood, scouting areas, baby birds, deer, snakes, all active this time of year. And those young can be mistaken. They are every year by a great number of people. Mistaken for abandoned. Don't try to catch that baby rabbit, no matter how cute he is. Baby birds and deer fawns are the most common animal that's picked up by well-meaning folks. However, it's important to realize that many such human-animal encounters are unnecessary. Most are. And can even be detrimental to the wildlife concerned. Not to mention the fact that it's illegal to possess wildlife without a permit here in Texas, and I would suspect in your neck of the woods, too. Take a picture and then take off. Leave them alone. How about this deal? Why would anyone do this? Nearly 18,000 young salmon died after a vandal poured bleach into a Douglas County fish hatchery up in Oregon on Monday, April 22nd. The Gardner Reedsport Winchester Bay Salmon Trout Enhancement Program hatchery in Reedsport, Oregon. Douglas County Sheriff's Office caught a guy, Joshua Heckathorn, 20 years old of Gardner, Oregon, and they have lodged him at the Douglas County Jail on charges of burglary 2, criminal trespass, and criminal mischief. The exact number of fish that died in this incident are 17,890. It's interesting to know that the courts in Oregon have the authority to seek restitution for each of those fish at $750 apiece, and that comes to over $13 million. We'll see how this works out. Calming care is not a drug. It works very naturally and gently over time to settle the overbarker, the overjumper, the overactive dog, the one that tears up the carpet when you leave for work or won't leave your mother alone when she comes to visit. Hey, calming care. Check it out. Learn more at kinderoutdoors.com. You boys in Louisiana are going to have a great time today. Take the kids with you. It's opening day of squirrel season, most parts of Louisiana anyway, and the season runs through May 26th. Perfect getaway for hunting and a great introduction to kids into the sport. Louisiana has two species of squirrels, gray and fox squirrels. The bag limit is 3 with a possession limit of 9. Hey, Waco, Texas, have you seen these alligators in the Brazos River? Texas Parks and Wildlife, for the past year, has been monitoring a small number of juvenile alligators in the Brazos River at Waco. They're not abundant in the Brazos, but the river forms part of the western edge of the species distribution in the Lone Star State, and alligator sightings are not uncommon. Survey data from Waco indicates the presence of 6 known individuals between 1 and 4 feet in length. They wanted me to let you know this because a lot of folks like to swim in the Brazos River down around Waco. And there's a little hysteria out there after somebody recently posted a video of a juvenile alligator illegally caught, by the way, in a cast net.
Good morning. This is General Leroy Sisco, and I'm honored to be here today. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it. With Kinder Outdoors.
These days, we have to take a look at everything we do, everything we're spending money on, everything that comes into our homes and into our children's minds. That's why I'm so proud to partner with Patriot Mobile. Hey, have you ever heard of LifeWise Academy? It's Bible education for public schools during school hours. Youth anxiety, depression, and suicide is up, while Bible literacy, church attendance, and professions of faith are down. Patriot Mobile sees a direct connection there, and a portion of my phone bill every month goes to support LifeWise Academy. Not to mention, I have great phone service, an awesome data plan. When I call with a question, I speak to a service team that's based right here on U.S. soil. Built in America and proud of it. I want to pay your activation when you use the promo code KINDER. Make the switch. Patriot Mobile.
Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, to introduce you to the finest crappie rods ever built. The Wally Marshall Classic Signature Series. Premium IMS graphite medium light blanks designed with the perfect balance, sensitivity, and plenty of backbone to pull big slabs out of heavy cover straight into the live well. Featuring stainless steel guides and inserts for maximum reliability and lightweight reel seats for more sensitivity. The Wally Marshall Classic Series comes in 5'6" to 7'6" spinning, 8-foot through 11-foot jigging poles, and 12-foot to 16-foot trolling rods. I'm so proud of the new Wally Marshall Pro Target 100 spinning reel built with 11 ball bearings, carbon drag system, super light graphite body, and anti-reverse clutch with premium performance. Designed for shooting docks, casting light jigs, and forward-facing sonar techniques. Feel the difference with Wally Marshall Classic Signature Crappie Rods. Wally Marshall Pro Target spinning reels, and Wally Marshall Pro Target rods at Lowe's.com.
After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife, quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups. And we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean,
right.
These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit JoshuaCreek.com.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled, but we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids, and in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
Switch to Patriot Mobile and you'll be promoting and educating American youth in the principles of freedom, free markets, and limited government. This is Patriot Mobile's Kinder Outdoors.
Dallas Safari Club is moving to Atlanta for the big convention and expo in January. They're doing that because of construction at the normal meeting place, the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas. While they tear that building down and rebuild, DSC looked all across the nation, exhausted every possibility, and said, you know what? Atlanta makes a lot of sense. It has everything we need when we need it. And then after a 5-year rebuild at the K. Bailey Hutchison in Dallas, we're right back home again. The important thing is DSC will continue to carry on the mission that ensures the conservation of wildlife through public engagement, education, advocacy for well-regulated hunting and sustainable use. Come join us, be a part of it. January 9 through 12 at the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta. This guy will be there, my good friend, Larry Wysoon. He and I had a conversation a couple of years ago about white-tailed deer and how to hunt them in the springtime. I know it's out of season, but there's work to be done right now.
You kind of caught me actually on my little place in the northern part of Colorado County, just kind of about 8 or 10 miles north of Columbus, Texas, and probably about 24, 25 miles from where I now live in Brenham. Out here, of all things, kind of looking around a little bit, doing fertilizing a little bit of native browse and kind of looking to see what the browse species are here and kind of looking for a shed antler or two, and if I can find a rub or a scrape. Kind of getting ready, you know, it's a long way from deer season, but it's never too early to get started.
Well, we caught you at the right time, because that's what I want to talk about today is scouting during the spring to make life a little easier in the fall and kind of help us get through those rigors of a long, hot summer. What are you looking for this time of year while you're out doing a little deer scouting for white-tailed deer?
What I'm doing right now is I'm just kind of going around a little bit. And, of course, as I mentioned, looking for a shed antler, too, trying to see which bucks made it through the hunting season and through the winter and try to get an idea. You know, you get a pretty good idea as to the age of a deer by looking at the shed antler. A small antler, of course, it's probably going to be a young deer. But if you look at that pedicle attachment area where that antler attaches to the skull, as opposed to just above the burr where you have the main beam, if that deer is a really young deer and he's got a fairly small antler, he ought to have a pretty decent-sized pedicle area. The beam's going to be a little smaller. When that deer is like a 2 or 3-year-old deer, that pedicle ought to be fair size, and then right above the burr, if you've had decent nutrition, it ought to be about the same size as that attachment area. And when you get into the older age classes, like the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds, if they're on decent nutrition, they'll have a big pedicle attachment area, and then that main beam above that burr will be bigger than that attachment area. So by looking at antlers like that, you can get a pretty good idea sometimes as to what kind of age structure you have. And again, you know where that deer made it through the season. He's made it at least to the point where he's dropped his antlers, and that's also a pretty good indication that, particularly if it's an old mature buck, he may be very close to where you find those shed antlers. Because I will tell you that in years past, paid a lot of attention to those kind of things, and quite often I shot old secretive type bucks within 100 yards or less of where I found the shed antlers. So good time to be scouting for those kind of things.
Hey, that's a really good tip right there. And, you know, this time of year, when you're out looking around like that, if you're in their bedding area, their real secret area, that can all be forgiven by fall. That's not something you want to do in November. But right now you can kind of get away with that, can't you?
You can. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, is the very best time to do scouting like that, where you are concerned maybe that you might bump a deer or whatever. He's not going to pay a whole lot of attention to you right now. The other thing that we're kind of doing, too, while I'm out here is if you've had – I learned over the years that there are all kinds of different scrapes, but I mean rubs as well. But to me, there's an active rub or an inactive rub. And sometimes these bucks walk along, and they just kind of hook the bridge a little bit and keep going. But there are also some places where those bucks return to year after year. So one of the things that I'm looking for is some of the rubs that are out there. I want to see that they look like they were rubbed on this past year. And I want to look to see, too, if they may have been rubbed on in years past, because, again, sometimes particular old mature bucks have a tendency to come back to the same spot to rub their antlers each year. And same thing's kind of true on if you find what looked like an active scrape. I mean, even now with as green as it is and the green up that we're having in other places compared to where I am, you can still see where they kind of push that dirt around with their front feet, and you can see where they kind of nuzzled and kind of bit on that overhanging limb. So right now is a good time to find those things, and I'm not very technically minded, so my technology, I guess, is amounts to more than taking a sheet of paper and a pencil and drawing out the property and then kind of marking off where I find rubs and scrapes right now, so that I know that may be a place that I want to return to or hunt fairly close to come this fall.
When will fawns be on the ground in your part of the country? We're talking about the Texas Hill Country.
Well, the Texas Hill Country and kind of the southeast, the eastern part of the state, we have our rut varies so very much over the state, but we'll have fawns on the ground in a lot of those areas by the first and second week of May, and maybe even a little bit earlier. Some of our does this year seemed going into the rut were in really good shape. They probably got bred early a little bit, so usually by the middle of May, we got a lot of fawns on the ground, and when you hit farther south, like in the deep south Texas, then generally you start seeing fawns that last week of June and usually that first week of July. But it won't be long now. We'll have fawns on the ground on lots of parts of the state of Texas.
Is that something, when it comes to your scouting, that concerns you? Do you want to try to be out of the woods when those fawns hit the ground? Have your scouting done?
I try to have most of my scouting done by then, but, you know, there's still an opportunity to get out during that time of the year, too. And again, generally, you don't disturb those fawns that much or the does. I try to do a lot of scouting during that time looking for deer, because by then, pretty soon you're going to be able to tell kind of what those bucks are going to start looking like. I'll find a good spot where I can sit with a spotting scope and a binocular and maybe watch the areas that they feed into. And by watching those does, it also will give me a pretty good idea of what kind of fawn survival rate we might have come the fall. And that's one of the things we as hunters sometimes forget is that if you're interested in 5 and 6 year old bucks, those old mature bucks, now this coming fall, you need to go back to see what kind of fawn survival rate we had 5 and 6 years ago. If we didn't have much of a fawn survival rate, they're not going to be many bucks in that age class. And that's one of the reasons that we tried so hard to always be sure that we have at least a 40% or better fawn survival rate on the properties, at least that I try to go hunt on, because I know if that's the case, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now, if we can maintain that kind of a fawn survival rate, there are going to be a fair number of fawns that have grown up into those older age class bucks.
This is a Kinder Outdoors Conservation Minute, a focus on people that make a difference.
Freedom hunters, they say thank you to our very bravest and finest in a very special way.
We're a 501c3 military outreach program. We take servicemen and their families out on outdoor ventures, mainly hunting, fishing, shooting trips all around the country and internationally, too.
These trips are more than a thank you and a good time. Far more.
It invigorates them. The healing comes out of it. You know, it's amazing. I started it just as a thank you, as a give back. I had no idea the therapeutic value of these hunts. I mean, it changes them. You can see it in their eyes. When they show up at camp, they're quiet and reserved. By the end of camp, they're opened up and, chatting with other veterans. It's amazing. You can go on our website. We've got a donation button, or just email us and say, hey, here's the opportunity. We'll fit a vet into that opportunity, whatever it is. Freedomhunters.org.
Preserving what we love and educating the next generation every day. To learn more, visit us at KenderOutdoors.com.
More from Larry Wysoon scouting whitetail deer in the spring when we come back from the coffee pot. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club, with chapters all across these United States. There's one near you. Pay them a visit at biggame.org.
I'm Craig Boddington. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it at Kinder Outdoors.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word, csbiblechurch.org.
If you sell hunting, fishing, outdoors products, and you'd like to directly speak to folks like me that enjoy the great outdoors, this might be a great place for you to advertise. Kinder Outdoors. We reach many thousands of hunters and fishermen each and every week, all across the country and right here at home. This is the perfect place for you to advertise your goods and services. This puts you in the pickup, in the blind, and on the boat when we are. Come see us at KinderOutdoors.com to learn more. Introducing Canyon Valley Provisions.
Grass-fed beef is high in omega-3s and conjugated linoleic acid, which is known as CLAs. In layman terms, it's a type of fat that your body can use, and it doesn't damage your heart or any part of your vascular system.
Buy better beef for your family.
We manage holistically, or some people call it regeneratively. We want everything that we do to be a part of our good stewardship of the land. We think that's what God's put us here to do, so the cattle are healthy and the land's healthy. We want both. We don't want one or the other.
If you were to buy a grass-fed, grass-finished steak by the pound, you'd pay anywhere from $18 to $30 a pound. But if you buy a quarter, half, or whole, you're ranging from anywhere $7.80 and below. So you're paying a third of the price for that steak and, you know, those good cuts. And you get a whole lot more bang for your buck when you buy in bulk.
Don't let 2020 happen in your home again. CanyonValleyProvisions.com. Raising cattle in West Texas for five generations. Once upon a time, long, long ago, elk roamed bountifully across most of North America. Their bugle cut the early morning fog in the hills of Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, coast to coast. And then they were gone. But in 1984, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation was born, and since then, a quarter of a million people have joined the elk effort. Nearly 9.5 million acres have been preserved or access opened up to the public. There are more than 500 RMEF chapters, and the way we go about our business makes us one of the most efficient and effective conservation organizations in the U.S. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation plays a leading role in restoring elk to their historic habitat. Today, make a difference in the world. Make an impact. Learn how at rmef.org. I was on the telephone the other day with a company that I'll not name. For what seemed like an eternity, there was a huge language barrier. And the service that I actually wanted, I wound up canceling because things were so very frustrating in the conversation. And the further we went, the less I trusted this company. I wondered, just where and who am I speaking to? It's not that way with Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, features exceptional U.S.-based customer support. That's important to me. plus strong, dependable nationwide 4G and 5G coverage, why would you not make the switch? I'll pay your activation fee with the promo code KINDER, K-I-N-D-E-R. Patriot Mobile is mobilizing freedom and recognizing why America has been great all along.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
We've camped on the ground and in five-star lodges, but have never found a more welcome camp than this one, Kender Outdoors.
Proud partners with Patriot Mobile. Great time of year to get that new bird dog puppy. And when you bring him home, build a strong and healthy GI system in that pup with Fortiflora. Safe enough to use with weaning puppies. Get them established right with a strong gut. Fortiflora from the trusted name Purina. Let's get back to our conversation with Larry Wysoon. Mr. Whitetail, we're scouting for whitetail deer in the springtime.
You were mentioning scrapes earlier. You really have to look for them this time of year, as you mentioned, with this new growth coming on in the spring, but you can still find those old scrapes. The rubs are going to be there. You're going to find those. Scrapes are really key, though, because like you said, they'll come back to those year after year after year. Want to make sure you take your GPS or your Big Chief tablet, whatever your technology is, and mark those spots, though, as you put together your plan for the fall. You know what else is happening this time of year? The snakes are moving. You hadn't bumped into any of those, have you?
No, sir, I haven't, but I can assure you that I'm wearing knit boots that go up to my knees because I pull cattle off of some of the property that we've got for a year or so now, and there's lots of cover on the ground, and I suspect there's a fair amount of prey for the copperheads and rattlesnakes and cottonmouths and coral snakes that we have in this area where my little place is. So you're right, you got to be really careful. I mean, this doesn't be definitely afraid of, but it's just you like I try to be is just cognizant and remember, hey, there's snakes in this area, watch where I put my feet. Be careful what I pick up, you know, don't stick my hand underneath the log, you know, those kind of things. And I think as long as people do that, your chances of getting bitten are fairly slim. I mean, usually those snakes, unless they're in the process maybe of shedding skin, they're going to be fairly secretive and they're going to be a little bit on the shy side. Other than that, like I said, if they're shedding that skin sometime, they'd be a little bit on the mean side. But other than that, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. There's a fair number of snakes out, but, you know, just be careful.
You know, there's a place I've hunted in West Texas now for over 20 years, and I had 27 quail feeders set up on that place. And every 8 weeks, I would go out. I don't feed it anymore, but I would go out religiously and put a pallet of corn out going around to all those feeders. And I always carried my shotgun because invariably, and if you're a year-round feeder, deer, quail, doesn't matter. This is a real good tip for you. Keep the shotgun handy. Keep your eyes open because those snakes love to lay next to a feeder because they know a mouse is going to be coming up there to get a piece of that corn. And I can't tell you how many rattlesnakes I've killed around feeders in the summertime and spring and summer, Larry.
Bill, you're exactly right. And that's what draws them right there, as you mentioned, is the prey species that get in there, the rats and rabbits and mice and even birds to some extent. So you're right. If you've got a year-round feeder situation, regardless of what you're doing, far, whatever your purpose is please be careful around those areas, not just right at the feeder, but in the perimeter as well, too.
You betcha. Hey, my last question to you is about feeding. A lot of states that we're talking to today can't feed, a lot can. Do you see any benefit in feeding year-round when there's plenty of browse, plenty to eat, or is that just a seasonal thing?
To me, one of the things that we have to remember is that we're really not feeding the deer. We're feeding the ruminal flora within the rumen and the digestive system of that deer. And any time that you dramatically change the intake of types of different feed or food or forage or whatever the case is, that flora has to adjust. And sometimes it can, if you're feeding and then you stop, you're pushing that deer on a totally different diet, that's really kind of a setback, because then that ruminal flora has to totally readjust, kind of thing. So to me, if you're going to feed, if you're going to supplementally feed, try to do it on a year-round basis, at least make it available to where you can keep that ruminal flora within that deer's digestive system happy. And if you can do that, you're going to be way ahead rather than going and taking a chance at having that total turnover of that flora. And it kind of sets the deer back a little bit when you do that.
Hey, you just made me feel a lot better about my corn, Bill. Thank you.
Well, good.
All right, Larry, good talking to you always. Let's go fishing.
Billy, I'm ready. I need some more of them fillets of crappie that you gave me one time. By golly, I can't wait for the next go-around on them.
My dear friend, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon. Well, we're going to go fishing now, not for those crappie. We're going to go in search of something bigger. We're going to go looking for double-digit bass. And a great guy to do that with is my friend Kelly Jordan. KJ from Major League Fishing's Bass Pro Tour.
Kelly Jordan, KJ, if anybody knows, it's you. Is there a 20-pound bass swimming around in Lake Fork somewhere?
Absolutely. There's one probably a lot bigger than that. There's so many big fish in there that I guess they're so adapted and so, smart because of the fishing pressure that there's a lot of fish that will never be hooked. You know, long, long time ago, they found two 20-pounders dead. One was actually 21 pounds that they found, you know, floating dead, and nobody caught those or lost those or, you know, ever landed one that big. Our state record is still at a Lake Fork, and it's 18 pounds. Now, I'm pretty sure I've seen one bigger than that,
yeah,
and on a bed or swimming around during the spawning season, and, of course, didn't catch it. And I am positive that I have hooked one that was 20 pounds or bigger.
Wow.
Before. And, of course, I lost that or we'd be talking about my Texas State record right now.
Right.
But, man, they're in there. And, golly, man, I hope somebody catches one. Everybody's been waiting for that to be broken in the state of Texas for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe that there's one in there.
Okay. Here's my point. I want to go with Kelly Jordan to Lake Fork, and I want to plan for that 20-pound fish, but he's going to have the capability of just smoking my gear in my hand. He's going to melt it. So let's go shopping. Let's build the perfect combo, the perfect system for hanging onto that fish. What are we going to do?
Well, you know, that's kind of an open question because there's a lot of different ways to catch a big bass, but if there was going to be one way, I'd say you definitely want a premium reel. And this is a reel with really strong drag that's a very smooth drag. Good gears. You want a pretty high retrieve ratio to be able to catch up to that fish if he's swimming towards you, and then be able to hold on to it when it gets away and not overload your drag or break your line.
You say a pretty good fast gear ratio. What are we talking about?
At least a 6-to-1.
Okay.
You know, that's pretty much all I use, is 6.1-to-1 or 6.3-to-1, somewhere in that range or even higher. You want a fast reel that's nice and smooth. You know, premium reel is perfect with a good drag. That's first and foremost. Second off, you need a really good rod. My favorite rods right now are Duckett Micro Magic rods. They have micro guides on them, and they're very strong and sensitive. Because of those micro guides, you have a lot of sensitivity, so you can feel that fish when he bites. Plus, they're a very strong rod that helps you set the hook and land that bass. Rod is important. I would probably go with a 7 to 7.5 foot rod, probably a medium heavy, or a heavy action rod, and that covers a lot of different techniques.
And what are we going to spool on this thing?
Line size. You need a really strong line. I would probably, you know, it depends what you're using, so I guess I'll get to pick two. One of them would be 25-pound fluorocarbon line,
okay,
and that would be used on pretty much, you know, anything, soft plastics, jigs, spinner baits, chatter baits, you name it, you know, big baits like that, swim baits. Mm-hmm. And the other one would be braid. And a braid is if I was in really heavy cover or I was night fishing, I'd be using braided line. And I'd use at least a 50-pound braid, probably a 65. And that'd be my two. If I just had two, that's what I would hope. I'd have one of those two lines on my rod when I did hook that giant bass.
Well, we got the hard work out of the way. Now all we have to do is catch that 20-pound fish.
Yeah, it ought to be easy now. Somebody should be able to do it next week. You know, giddy up out there.
You can keep up with my friend KJ Kelly Jordan through the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour. His reputation in the pro bass fishing world is his ability to focus on and catch giants. Hey, we're going to take a little break, stroll over to the coffee pot, stretch our legs for a minute or two. But when we come back, I've asked my friend Joe Masacchio with Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing to help us make good things out of some critters that we can hunt in the spring and summer. We're also going to pay a visit to Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy, Granbury, Texas.
Life is better outdoors. Relax and find your space at the beautiful Vineyards Campground and Cabins on Grapevine Lake. Well known for its peaceful setting, lovely grounds, lakefront views, and accommodating Texas-friendly staff, our full hookup sites can accommodate all bus or RV sizes and offer 50-amp service, many spacious pull-throughs, cable TV, and lightning-fast Wi-Fi. Our fully furnished cabins make it easy to feel miles away without actually roughing it. Enjoy a partially shaded private beach, large playground, fishing pier, water sport rentals, hiking trails, and more. The on-site camp store offers a wide selection of camping supplies, groceries, and gifts. Our landmark pavilion is perfect for your next reunion, rally, or wedding. You'll feel miles away from everything when you're only minutes from anything. Check out historic downtown Grapevine with various entertainment venues, large festivals and events, restaurants, wineries, shopping, and the new world-class Harvest Hall. The Vineyards Campground and Cabins, vineyardscampground.com.
If you love to hit the woods with a bow in your hand, now is the time to visit Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery.
You know, it is a buyer's year. And what I mean by that, no matter which brand you choose, whether it's a Hoyt, Matthews, PSC, Bowtech, it's going to be a good year to purchase a bow because everybody has something really good to offer.
When you visit with the pros at Cinnamon Creek Archery, you're talking to guys that live this stuff day in and day out.
We are a try before you buy shop. Not to mention, altogether, we've got a well over 100 years of experience. So it's something that we do on a daily. I know I hunt two or three times a week, whether, you know, it's season or not. So we can definitely help you with that stuff.
Cinnamon Creek Archery has practice ranges indoors and out.
So the static bags is just a range that has distances out to 100 yards. We also have four 3D courses. Each one of those has approximately 20 targets on it. We have a 30-yard upstairs range, and we have a 20-yard downstairs range.
Come see us right now at CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
The Quail Coalition has drawn the line. Quail decline stops here. South and West Texas and Western Oklahoma are the last strong natural regions for wild bobwhite quail. We've all watched the drastic decline across the southern states of the iconic bobwhite. The Quail Coalition has vowed to do all within human power to not only stop quail decline, but build a future where the quail will flourish across all of its original habitat. If true quail conservation is important to you, please visit quailcoalition.org. Consider a membership, attend one of our fundraising banquets, and please consider starting a chapter in your home state. Together, let's sustain and restore huntable wild quail populations. Let's encourage and educate interested youth. Let's keep the most brilliant quail minds on earth working on a bright future for our quails. The first step, visit our website, quailcoalition.org.
Ag Texas. The name itself says trust, honesty, strength, and tradition. Ag Texas has from the get-go been dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. The Ag Texas family can help grow your herd or your operation. Give us a call and talk to Ag Texas pros about risk management in the form of crop insurance, protecting borrowed capital and savings. We specialize in everything from dairy cows to pecan trees. And have the right financial tools and knowledge at Ag Texas to help you grow. and grow safely. We can't tell you when it's going to rain again, but we can assure that your crop, your cows, your family, and the family land are secure and protected no matter the storm or the dry spell. We are Agriculture at Ag Texas, and we look forward to visiting with you. Ag Texas is at agtexas.com and just down the road.
Flush that old bird dog out of that chair and have a seat. You're in camp with us at Kinder Outdoors.
Presented to you by Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider.
You know, typical springtime, we've put away the bow, we've put away the deer rifle, we've picked up the fishing pole, and we kind of ignore the spring and summer hunting opportunities, but don't do that because there's some really good opportunities out there. My friend Joe Masacchio with Cinnamon Creek Ranch Wild Game Processing and Archery Shop joins me now. And hey, listen, just because it's springtime doesn't mean there's not some tasty critters roaming around out there, Joe.
No, actually, if you're going out there filling your feeders or you're going to go shoot exotics or turkeys or anything of that sort, I mean, all the way to June or even 4th of July sometimes that, you know, people bring stuff in.
Yeah.
So.
What are some things we can do with a hog? I try to always keep a Cinnamon Creek feral hog in my freezer. What are some things that we can do with our hogs?
Well, basically, you can do everything we do with a deer with a hog, and we've limited the number of items that you could do. So, you know, because the hogs, they don't normally have that much meat on them. The ribs are always good, and people don't think so. But, you know, we do the taco meat and breakfast sausage, which is the big seller, and then we do these hog stickers, which are like Hawaiian steak on a stick, which is really good. Kids love them. So, yeah, the tamales are really a great hit, and they're really easy to serve. They take less than 4 minutes to cook them in a microwave, or you can steam them. I wouldn't put them in the oven because you dry them out, but if you steam them, that's just like you just made them.
Yeah.
And all the sausages, I mean, the jalapeno cheese and, you know, brats, all that kind of stuff. So
I love your German sausage and your taco meat. I've noticed it's pre-season. We don't add anything at home. We just fry it up and go.
No, it almost looks like turkey when you're cooking the hog taco meat. It's really good.
Yeah. You know, a lot of guys don't like to put the bow up after the season. They like to go hunt exotics. I'm one of those guys. Killed a big, nice axis deer last year and a fallow deer the year before that. Some of our better-tasting exotics, Joe, would be what?
I would put axis deer at the top of the list, which you would probably agree with as far as pure meat, getting steaks and stuff like that back from. And Nelgai's another one. I mean, those are the two best-eating exotics there are. When you get into the fallows and the sikas and the black buck and stuff like that, they're a little more gamey, and the meat's a little bit darker than normal. So,
some of that darker, gamier meat, what can we do to take that gamey out? What can you guys do for us with our fallow deer, for example? What do you recommend?
The fallow we usually do more spicy stuff, even like an audette or something like that. The hot links and the Italians and anything smoked that's got a little bit of spice to it will kind of kick that a little bit, because we're mixing it with 85% lean pork, which takes away a lot of that. And once we get rid of the fat, that helps a whole bunch also.
When you come to Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing, it's different than any other place I've ever been. I don't know how many places I've had a white-tailed deer taken care of in my lifetime. But the first time I came here, I said, wow, this is different. What makes you guys different?
We know what to take away from the deer to make it the very best. And that meaning get rid of all the blood that's on it, all the fat that's on it. And it's hard to season raw meat, and that's what we're really, really good at. Our bacon-wrapped fillets are probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to a wild game piece of meat that's out there. And it doesn't matter what it is. You could serve it to anybody and they'll say, wow, that's a great fillet, but it's wild game.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought you were lying to me the first time I took my Cinnamon Creek
bacon wrap fillets home. It was a white-tailed deer. And I said, we're eating beef. Joe's pulled the wool over our eyes. It's amazing. There's zero wild taste in anything I've ever dropped off with you.
Yeah, I think because the way we season them, and then we cry vac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit, and everybody, if you'll cook them just like a regular fillet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference. I've done it to hundreds of people.
No guff. There is no one better in the wild game processing business than Joe Masacchio and his family at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing, just north of Fort Worth, Texas. Southwest of Fort Worth is a guy that I've taken my taxidermy to for 3 decades now, Roy Holdridge with True Life Taxidermy in Granbury.
Let's talk about big game. Somebody shoots something pretty nice and they think, I want to take that to True Life and let Roy work his magic on that. What's the first thing we need to do with that animal regarding the pelt, the horns, taking care of it to bring it into you?
Well, you need to get it field dressed as quick as you can, and then the very next thing is you need to get it cool as quick as you can. And here in Texas, obviously, a lot of times we go hunting, it's pretty warm out, and so that's you need to get it somewhere and get it cooled.
Cooling, obviously we're worried about that for our meat, but does that affect the hide as well?
Exactly, it does. You know, the hide's the same thing. You wouldn't want to eat that meat after it's been laying out on the hood for hours and hours in 100-degree weather, and neither would you want to try and mount it after it's been out there, because the bacteria starts real quick, and then the hair will start slipping, and you won't have a very, very, very pretty mount.
Yeah. What if we're a long ways off? We need to go ahead and cape that animal if we're going to be coming, like, from Montana to Texas to bring that animal to you.
Yes, it's good to go ahead and get it caped. Now, you can skin it all the way down to the head and take the head off and get it all into a cooler and get it. You don't have to completely cape it out, but you do need to get it cold. If there's a freezer available, freeze it. That's the best thing.
Freezing's not going to hurt my pelt.
No, it won't. It's actually very good. I mean, get it cold as fast as you can.
Yeah. When we cape that animal out and we're ready to make the drive from Wyoming to Granbury, Texas, to True Life Taxidermy, do we want to take special care with how we roll that pelt up? Do we want to avoid creases, cramps, bends, anything like that, or are we going to be okay?
No, on your big game, you're not. You just roll them up there. But again, get them cool. If you've got a big old elk or a bison or something like that, you need to get it cold. If you roll it all up, the heat will stay in there for a long time. So, yeah. I mean, keep it open long enough to get it good and cold. But once you get it all cold, you can roll it up and put it in something where it's not going to hurt it too bad to get it wet. But it's better if you separate the hide from the ice.
Okay, very good. Big plastic bag. Take that plastic bag with you guys. In recent years, I've noticed, and maybe this trend doesn't exist, maybe it's just me, but am I seeing more full-body mounts now than I used to years ago?
You know, we do a lot more full-body mounts. We really do. There's lots and lots of people do a lot of full-body mounts now.
If we're going to full-body mount, we're going to do some things differently, aren't we?
Yes, you would. If you're somewhere around anywhere close, it's best just to field dress it by putting as small of a cut as you can and get all of the integrals out and then just get it here fast. That's the best thing. But if you're in Montana, then you do need to skin the thing. And you would just go right down the back of the leg. Some people, I don't know why they would cut up the front of them, but like on most animals, on the back of the leg, the hair will come from the front to the back, and it'll make a point there.
Yeah.
And if you'll just cut right in that on the back, open them right up the middle there, and just skin them till you feel uncomfortable, you know, and cut the neck off, and do the same thing as you would with a cape. Bring the whole thing in. You don't have to take the feet out. Just cut, you know, skin down as far as you feel comfortable, cut the leg off, and leave the bone in there, and bring them in, and let us take care of that.
Bring every inch of hide that you can in one piece.
Right, right, yes.
Very good. Roy Holdridge, True Life Taxidermy, Granbury, Texas. Learn more about any of these guys when you come see me at kinderoutdoors.com. If you're not a member of the Dallas Safari Club, you really ought to be. Worldwide leaders in conservation. education, and advocacy for our precious heritage on the water and in the field. BigGame.org. I'm a life member.
A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's your Second Amendment. Patriot Mobile celebrating freedom with Kinder Outdoors.
Thanks a lot for hanging out around our campfire this week at Kinder Outdoors. We greatly appreciate it. Drop by the website and say hello. Let us know where you are and how you listen. AM, FM, Sirius XM, podcast or broadcast, we'd love to know. Kinder, K-I-N-D-E-R, KinderOutdoors.com. This corner of the camphouse brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. If you'll visit a field trial today, I know they're running a big one up there north of Denver this weekend. And just drop by, walk around and visit with those trainers, dog owners. Ask them what they feed their dogs. 90% of them are going to show you a bag of Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula in the Purple Sport Package. Pro Plan Performance is at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores and wherever you buy your dog fuel. One of our bass fishing pros is Gary Klein, 30-time qualifier for the Bassmaster Classic, founding father of the Major League Fishing format, and a tremendous bass fishing teacher. I asked him about structure and cover. Important stuff you need to know before you make that cast.
You know, you have cover, and then you have what we are now talking about is structure. And structure to me is a bottom change. And that bottom change could be elevation change, and it could also be a topo change from mud to rock, you know, pea gravel to boulders. So structure to me is on the bottom, and cover is what is, you know, available to the fish.
Gotcha. Okay, let's talk about structure. What do you like? When I pulled up on you in South Dakota, you were fishing 30 feet deep, but you were fishing 33 feet deep. There was a little something down there that you liked.
Well, again, it all boils down to time of year. Time of year and current conditions. I mean, it's real hard to go outside and fish structure when you're exposed to the elements.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of what we're talking about is offshore, so you're exposed to a wind. So it's real important to pay attention to the weather. And, if you have that window to go out and look, one thing that I enjoy about fishing offshore is that those fish almost act like they're unmolested. Mm-hmm. It's like they've never seen a lure before.
They feel safer.
Yeah, very safe. They're in their environment, and all of a sudden I'm just a natural presentation with an artificial lure, and they bite it.
Yeah. When is there one time of year more than another when structure is more important than other times?
Well, to me, my favorite time of the year is the fall. You know, we've had the fall turnovers, so there is no thermocline. There's nothing really preventing the fish to start using the deeper water, and they use it. Late October, November, December are phenomenal times to get offshore and fish deep.
Okay. Now let's talk about cover a little bit and how to pick that apart. If you're going to fish on the Bassmaster Elite Series, which you have done very successfully at a high level for a long time, you've qualified for 30 Bassmaster Classics. Did you people hear me? He's qualified for 30 Bassmaster Classics. 30. That's an amazing feat, and you've got to be able to break it down in Florida. You've got to be able to break it down in Texas, wherever the trail takes you. Let's talk about Florida. It's intimidating. You pull out there, and there's 17 different types of aquatic weed and cover growing in that lake. How do you even know where to go?
Well, first of all, you have to always go back to the understanding that you're fishing for a bass. And a bass is conditioned by his environment, and he can only relate to what is in his environment. So, if there's no lily pad, you don't have to worry about lily pads. Fish relate to stuff on edges. Even on some of the best aquatic lakes, like you just mentioned, and you know maybe it's Lake Okeechobee, too much of anything's not good. And if you have a lot of mixes, and really pay attention to the bottom that they grow, literally if you start understanding what grows where, you can drive down the lake and literally pay attention to what you're seeing, and you can almost predict bottom hardness and depth by what plants you're identifying that are growing in that area. And it's the same thing like, you know, here in the state of Texas, if you're on a lake like Toledo Bend, I had the opportunity to fish Toledo Bend at a very early age back in the 70s when all the timber stood. Well, I learned real quick that pine trees grew up on ridges. So if you looked out across the lake and you saw a big bunch of pine trees, chances are they were on the top of a ridge, where all your hardwoods, especially your cypress trees, were usually on bayous, streams and sloughs, and even take it a step further, when you studied the timber, you could tell that the longest branches always grew out over the moisture. So now you can run down the lake and look out and all that timber, and you're just not seeing all the timber. You're learning how to read what it is that you're seeing. Same thing with aquatic vegetation. Now, a lot of it, you have to get right on top of it in order to really identify what it is, or with your electronics. A lot of your aquatic in the right water clarities will grow out deep. But yeah, fish relate to it. They love to be on edges, and I look for change. Same thing with structure. I mean, if I have a change where it goes from a clay bottom to a pea gravel bottom, I see that on my depth finder. A lot of times that's what those fish like to kind of hang around.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Gary. I love to bass fish. I absolutely love to bass fish. As a matter of fact, smallmouth bass are my favorite fish to catch. But do you ever catch anything out of the lake that you end up dipping in the peanut oil with a little salt and pepper and cornmeal later on?
Well, I tell you, you know, you just mentioned some crappie. They sure taste good, and I know walleye taste really good. But I do not remember the last time I flayed anything. And it's not really that I don't have the time, but I enjoy to eat fish.
When you get 2 minutes, you go catch a bass, don't you?
Yeah, I like to catch fish and I turn them loose.
There's a ProPlan formula perfect for your dog, no matter the age, activity level, or lifestyle. Pick up the ProPlan at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores today. I've been talking about Patriot Mobile for a few months now. I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile is a company with a mission statement that says, we passionately defend our God-given constitutional rights and freedoms and to glorify God always. How refreshing to hear a patriot stand up on their hind legs and say, I love this country, I love my God, and I'm not ashamed to tell you that. Patriot Mobile gets the job done with dependable and strong 4G and 5G coverage, exceptional U.S.-based customer support, and they've been around a while, over a decade now. This is not a flash in the pan, here today, gone tomorrow. Let me ask you something. When you pay for your data plan every month, where does that money end up? Does it fight for your Second Amendment, your First Amendment? Make the switch to Patriot Mobile. I'll pay your activation fee when you use the promo code Kinder, K-I-N-D-E-R. At PatriotMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Cecil Miskin from the Herdware retail store in Goodnight, Texas, right on US 287, about an hour east of Amarillo. The location is truly a Texas treasure. In fact, the building and acreage will soon become part of the Texas Historical Commission's Goodnight Ranch Historical Site. That means that our physical store there will be closing before the end of this July. Come in as soon as you can to snap up our closeout deals on clothing, shoes, boots, art, and more. Remember, too, that we do FaceTime, Google Meets, and Zoom over the Internet shopping evenings. Give me a call to set up a time if you'd like to do that. Of course, we will still be online with unique bison offerings at herdware.net, as we have all these years. Plan on coming to our closeout roundup the first full week in July for food, music, gifts, and the last of the deals. Details soon available on our website, herdware.net. That is Herdware, H-E-R-D-W-E-A-R.net. See you in Goodnight at Herdware.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. I want to urge you to plan what will be the trip of a lifetime to Argentina. Hunt doves or ducks with my friends at Cordoba Doves. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative, and he's right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Call him at 817-797-9020. Like me, you can plan your next trip of a lifetime with Lane Balky and Cordoba Doves.
We pick you up at the airport, and you're in our care, custody, and control. All meals, all drinks, all eats are included in the package.
Lane is a hunter himself, and when he describes that first morning that you'll witness in the field, it raises the hairs on the back of your neck.
The first morning, the fly-off of the roost in the morning is spectacular. Birds almost as far as you can see, and they fly like that all day until sunset.
Come on, let's go to Argentina. It's closer than you think. Visit CordobaDoves.com or give Lane a call, 817-797-9020.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Cacheria. Can see me in Argentina.
Tailing redfish on the fly rod, fresh walleye in a skillet, big time turkeys running to your call, a massive 6x6 within 30 yards, and a new personal best in the bass boat. That's life at our camp at Kender Outdoors.
Proud partners with Patriot Mobile.
Todd, you forgot to mention a kennel full of fine bird dogs. And every one of them, from puppy till the end of the run, is fed Purina Pro Plan. There's a Pro Plan formula that's perfect for your dog at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Even though we're half a year away from deer season, it's time to get to work scouting. Let's get a little help from Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon.
Larry, good to talk to you, buddy. What part of the world are you in this time around? Because I never know.
You know, sometimes I don't know for sure either, Billy, but it's worked out. You kind of caught me actually on my little place in the northern part of Colorado County, just kind of about 8 or 10 miles north of Columbus, Texas, and probably about 24, 25 miles from where I now live in Brenham. Out here, of all things, kind of looking around a little bit, doing fertilizing a little bit of native browse and kind of looking to see what the browse species are here and kind of looking for a shed antler or two, and if I can find a rub or a scrape. Kind of getting ready, you know, it's a long way from deer season, but it's never too early to get started.
Yeah, this time of year, I want it to be deer season year round, but they won't let us do that. So this time of year, I always say we're as far from deer season as we can get right now, but we're closer than we were yesterday. So that's hope.
Amen. That is hope.
Well, we caught you at the right time, because that's what I want to talk about today is scouting during the spring to make life a little easier in the fall and kind of help us get through those rigors of a long, hot summer. What are you looking for this time of year while you're out doing a little deer scouting for whitetail deer?
What I'm doing right now is I'm just kind of going around a little bit. And, of course, as I mentioned, looking for a shed antler, too, trying to see which bucks made it through the hunting season and through the winter and try to get an idea. You know, you get a pretty good idea as to the age of a deer by looking at the shed antler. A small antler, of course, it's probably going to be a young deer. But if you look at that pedicle attachment area where that antler attaches to the skull, as opposed to just above the burr where you have the main beam, if that deer is a really young deer and he's got a fairly small antler, you ought to have pretty decent sized pedicle area. The beam's going to be a little smaller. When that deer is like a 2 or 3 year old deer, that pedicle ought to be fair size. And then right above the burr, if you've had decent nutrition, it ought to be about the same size as that attachment area. And when you get into the older age classes, like the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds, if they're on decent nutrition, they'll have a big pedicle attachment area, and then that main beam above that burr will be bigger than that attachment area. So by looking at antlers like that, you can get a pretty good idea sometimes as to what kind of age structure you have. And again, you know where that deer made it through the season. He's made it at least to the point where he's dropped his antlers, and that's also a pretty good indication that particularly if it's an old mature buck, he may be very close to where you find those shed antlers, because I will tell you that in years past, I paid a lot of attention to those kind of things, and quite often I shot old secretive type bucks within 100 yards or less of where I found the shed antlers. So good time to be scouting for those kind of things.
Hey, that's a really good tip right there. And, you know, this time of year, when you're out looking around like that, if you're in their bedding area, their real secret area, that can all be forgiven by fall. That's not something you want to do in November, but right now you can kind of get away with that, can't you?
You can. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, is the very best time to do scouting like that, where you are concerned maybe that you might bump a deer or whatever. He's not going to pay a whole lot of attention to you right now. The other thing that we're kind of doing, too, while I'm out here is if you've had – I learned over the years that there are all kinds of different scrapes, but I mean rubs as well, but – to me, there's an active rub or an inactive rub. And sometimes these bucks walk along, and they just kind of hook the brush a little bit and keep going. But there are also some places where those bucks return to year after year. So one of the things that I'm looking for is some of the rubs that are out there. I want to see that they look like they were rubbed on this past year. And I want to look to see, too, if they may have been rubbed on in years past. Because, again, sometimes particular old mature bucks have a tendency to come back to the same spot to rub their antlers each year. And same thing's kind of true on if you find what looked like an active scrape. I mean, even now with as green as it is and the green up that we're having in other places compared to where I am, you can still see where they kind of push that dirt around with their front feet, and you can see where they kind of nuzzled and kind of bit on that overhanging limb. So right now is a good time to find those things, and I'm not very technically minded, so my technology, I guess, is amounts to more than taking a sheet of paper and a pencil and drawing out the property and then kind of marking off where I find rubs and scrapes right now, so that I know that may be a place that I want to return to or hunt fairly close to come this fall.
When will fawns be on the ground in your part of the country? We're talking about the Texas Hill Country.
Well, the Texas Hill Country and kind of the southeastern part of the state. Usually we have our rut varies so very much over the state, but we'll have fawns on the ground in a lot of those areas by the first to second week of May, and maybe even a little bit earlier. Some of our does this year seemed going into the rut were in really good shape. They probably got bred early a little bit. So usually by the middle of May, we got a lot of fawns on the ground, and when you hit farther south, like in the deep south Texas, then generally you start seeing fawns that last week of June and usually that first week of July. But it won't be long now. We'll have fawns on the ground on lots of parts of the state of Texas.
Is that something, when it comes to your scouting, that concerns you? Do you want to try to be out of the woods when those fawns hit the ground? Have your scouting done?
I try to have most of my scouting done by then, but, you know, there's still an opportunity to get out there in that time of the year, too. And again, generally, you don't disturb those fawns that much or the does. I try to do a lot of scouting during that time looking for deer, because by then, pretty soon you're going to be able to tell kind of what those bucks are going to start looking like. I'll find a good spot where I can sit with a spotting scope and a binocular and maybe watch the areas that they feed into. And by watching those does, it also will give me a pretty good idea of what kind of fawn survival rate we might have come the fall. And that's one of the things we as hunters sometimes forget is that if you're interested in 5 and 6 year old bucks, those old mature bucks, now this coming fall, you need to go back to see what kind of fawn survival rate we had 5 and 6 years ago. If we didn't have much of a fawn survival rate, they're not going to be many bucks in that age class. And that's one of the reasons that we've tried so hard to always be sure that we have at least a 40% or better fawn survival rate on the properties, at least that I try to go hunt on, because I know if that's the case, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now, if we can maintain that kind of fawn survival rate, there's going to be a fair number of funds, or a fair number of funds have grown up into those older age class bucks.
This is a Kinder Outdoors Conservation Minute, a focus on people that make a difference.
Freedom hunters, they say thank you to our very bravest and finest in a very special way.
We're a 501c3 military outreach program. We take servicemen and their families out on outdoor ventures, mainly hunting, fishing, shooting trips all around the country and internationally too.
These trips are more than a thank you and a good time. Far more.
It invigorates them. The healing comes out of it. You know, it's amazing. I started it just as a thank you, as a give back. I had no idea the therapeutic value of these hunts. I mean, it changes them. You can see it in their eyes. When they show up at camp, they're quiet and reserved. By the end of camp, they're opened up and, chatting with other veterans. It's amazing. You can go on our website. We've got a donation button. Or just email us and say, hey, here's the opportunity. We'll fit a vet into that opportunity, whatever it is. Freedomhunters.org.
Preserving what we love and educating the next generation every day. To learn more, visit us at KinderOutdoors.com.
It's time for a sausage and biscuit. Maybe stretch our legs a little bit, grab a fresh cup of coffee, and then when we come back to Patriot Mobile's Kinder Outdoors, we'll finish up our conversation scouting whitetails in the springtime with Mr. Whitetail Larry Wysoon. Plus, we're going to build a big bass rod with Major League Fishing's Kelly Jordan.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Pig Man, and we're about to shoot some swine. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about shooting some pigs with Kinder Outdoors.
Patriot Mobile is a proud supporter of the National Foundation for Gun Rights, fighting across the nation day to day to defend the right to keep and bear arms. You can receive real-time updates on how the fight to protect your Second Amendment rights is progressing, how law-abiding gun owners are defended against violations of our gun rights. The National Association for Gun Rights, working to expand pro-gun precedents and defend gun owners. GunRightsFoundation.org.
I'm Tom Watson with Bended Knee International, asking you to pray for the Navajo people of New Mexico and Arizona. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit these Native people exceptionally hard. In many cases, multiple families live in the same home. Water is carried from muddy streams for household use, and medical care is many miles away. I simply ask that you join me in lifting them up to the Lord. To learn more, please visit bendedknee.org.
Introducing Canyon Valley Provisions.
Grass-fed beef is high in omega-3s and conjugated linoleic acid, which is known as CLAs. In layman terms, it's a type of fat that your body can use, and it doesn't damage your heart or any part of your vascular system.
Buy better beef for your family.
We manage holistically, or some people call it regeneratively. We want everything that we do to be a part of our good stewardship of the land. We think that's what God's put us here to do, so the cattle are healthy and the land's healthy. We want both. We don't want one or the other.
If you were to buy a grass-fed, grass-finished steak by the pound, you'd pay anywhere from $18 to $30 a pound. But if you buy a quarter, half, or whole, you're ranging from anywhere $7.80 and below. So you're paying a third of the price for that steak and, you know, those good cuts. And you get a whole lot more bang for your buck when you buy in bulk.
Don't let 2020 happen in your home again. CanyonValleyProvisions.com. Raising cattle in West Texas for five generations.
Here, Crappie Crappie. Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, introducing the all-new Mr. Crappie Lures by Strike King. The Mr. Crappie Shoe Shiners are made from the finest hackle feathers and the new teensy sausage heads. Shoe Shiner imitates real bait fish like minnows or threadfin shad, and comes in 16 natural bait colors in sizes 1/16, 1/32, and 1/64. Shoe Shiners are perfect for fishing under float, casting, and it's perfect for far-facing sonar. Crappie can't resist. You got to check out the Mr. Crappie Sausage Fins. They're loaded up with number 2 premium hooks, super smooth swivels, and hammered willow leaf gold and silver blades. 1/16 and 1/8 in your favorite crappie-catching colors. Also sausage fins with marabou, crappie thunders, or slabalicious. These awesome combinations will put more crappie in the freezer. Release to the grease! Also, Sugar Glider, Little Sucker, Jackknife, and the Chicken Chain. Get yours today at your local tackle shops or StrikeKing.com.
The Wild Sheep Foundation. Our purpose sounds simple, to put and keep wild sheep on the mountain. But from where we stand to the top of the mountain is a challenging and exciting journey. To be successful, we support the top scientific minds in wildlife research. We tell the story and history of the wild sheep in North America to those around us, like you. And step by step, we protect and grow wild sheep populations. If not for the Wild Sheep Foundation, more than $115 million in care, concern, and conservation work would not have happened over the past 40 years. Important work that has seen our wild sheep populations grow from 25,000 or so in the 1950s to more than 85,000 today. Learn more about the worldwide leader in wild sheep conservation. Secure a membership. Attend a banquet. Bid on an auction item. Make an impact on top of the mountain. WildSheepFoundation.org.
You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's five national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you.
Genesis chapter 9, God gives us dominion over all critters that roam the earth, swim the waters, or flies through the air. At Patriot Mobile, we celebrate our God-given gifts along with Kinder Outdoors.
I'm so proud that Robin and I made the switch to Patriot Mobile. All you have to do is flip the news on, if you can find some news, and you'll see in about 3 minutes that we're under attack in this country. If you proudly stand as a patriot, as an American, here's one way that you can let your voice be heard. Bring all of your data service onto U.S. soil. Patriot Mobile. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by my friends at the Dallas Safari Club. Big convention and expo next January in Atlanta, but you know that the DSC Foundation is having a big gala at the Sheraton in downtown Dallas on June 22nd this year, this summer, next month, celebrating the DSC mission and foundation work with a great time and a terrific guest speaker, Robbie Kroger. He's been on the show before. We'll be there. More details are at kinderoutdoors.com. Before the break, we were doing a little springtime whitetail scouting. We're going to pick that conversation back up now with Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon.
You were mentioning scrapes earlier. You really have to look for them this time of year, as you mentioned, with this new growth coming on in the spring. But you can still find those old scrapes. The rubs are going to be there. You're going to find those. Scrapes are really key, though, because, like you said, they'll come back to those year after year after year. You want to make sure you take your GPS or your Big Chief tablet, whatever your technology is, and mark those spots, though, as you put together your plan for the fall. You know what else is happening this time of year? The snakes are moving. You haven't bumped into any of those, have you?
No, sir, I haven't, but I can assure you that I'm wearing knit boots that go up to my knees because I pull cattle off of some of the property that we've got for a year or so now, and there's lots of cover on the ground, and I suspect there's a fair amount of prey for the copperheads and rattlesnakes and cottonmouths and coral snakes that we have in this area where my little place is. So you're right, you got to be really careful. I mean, this doesn't be deathly afraid of, but it's just you like I try to be is just cognizant and remember, hey, there's snakes in this area, watch where I put my feet. be careful what I pick up, you know, don't stick my hand underneath the log, you know, those kind of things. And I think as long as people do that, your chances of getting bit or bitten are fairly slim. I mean, usually those snakes, if unless they're in the process maybe of shedding skin, they're going to be fairly secretive and they're going to be a little bit on the shy side. Other than that, like I said, if they're shedding that skin sometime, they'd be a little bit on the mean side. But other than that, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. There's a fair number of snakes out, but just be careful.
You know, there's a place I've hunted in West Texas now for over 20 years, and I had 27 quail feeders set up on that place, and every 8 weeks I would go out. I don't feed it anymore, but I would go out religiously and put a pallet of corn out going around to all those feeders, and I always carried my shotgun because invariably, and if you're a year-round feeder, deer, quail, doesn't matter, this is a real good tip for you. Keep the shotgun handy. Keep your eyes open because those snakes love to lay next to a feeder because they know a mouse is going to be coming up there to get a piece of that corn. And I can't tell you how many rattlesnakes I've killed around feeders in the summertime and spring and summer, Larry.
Bill, you're exactly right. And that's what draws them right there, as you mentioned, is the prey species that get in there, the rats and rabbits and mice and even birds to some extent. So you're right. If you've got a year-round feeder situation, regardless of what you're doing for whatever your purpose is please be careful around those areas, not just right at the feeder, but in the perimeter as well, too.
You betcha. Hey, my last question to you is about feeding. A lot of states that we're talking to today can't feed, a lot can. Do you see any benefit in feeding year-round when there's plenty of browse, plenty to eat, or is that just a seasonal thing?
To me, one of the things that we have to remember is that we're really not feeding the deer. We're feeding the ruminal flora within the rumen and the digestive system of that deer. And any time that you dramatically change the intake of types of different feed or food or forage or whatever the case is, that flora has to adjust. And sometimes it can, if you're feeding and then you stop, you're pushing that deer on a totally different diet, that's really kind of a setback because then that ruminal flora has to totally readjust kind of thing. So to me, if you're going to feed, if you're going to supplementally feed, try to do it on a year-round basis, at least make it available to where you can keep that ruminal flora within that deer's digestive system happy. And if you can do that, you're going to be way ahead rather than going and taking a chance at having that total turnover of that flora. And it kind of sets the deer back a little bit when you do that.
Hey, you just made me feel a lot better about my corn, Bill. Thank you.
Well, good.
All right, Larry, good talking to you always. Let's go fishing.
Billy, I'm ready. I need some more of them fillets of crappie that you gave me one time. By golly, I can't wait for the next go-around on them.
Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon. He is a life member of the Dallas Safari Club as well. In fact, you'll see him this summer. If you attend the Dallas Safari Club Foundation banquet in downtown Dallas, he'll also be in Atlanta in January for the Convention and Sporting Expo, DSC 2025. Our home is Dallas, Texas. Always will be. The Dallas Safari Club. Let's go catch a giant bass with Kelly Jordan.
Kelly Jordan, KJ, if anybody knows, it's you. Is there a 20-pound bass swimming around in Lake Fork somewhere?
Absolutely. There's one probably a lot bigger than that. There's so many big fish in there that I guess they're so adapted and so, smart because of the fishing pressure that there's a lot of fish that will never be hooked. You know, long, long time ago, they found two 20-pounders dead. One was actually 21 pounds that they found, you know, floating dead, and nobody caught those or lost those or, you know, ever landed one that big. Our state record is still at a Lake Fork, and it's 18 pounds. Now, I'm pretty sure I've seen one bigger than that,
yeah,
and on a bed or swimming around during the spawning season, and of course didn't catch it. And I am positive that I have hooked one that was 20 pounds or bigger.
Wow.
Before. And of course I lost that, or we'd be talking about my Texas state record right now.
Right.
But man, they're in there, and golly, man, I hope somebody catches one. Everybody's been waiting for that to be broken in the state of Texas for a long, long time,
yeah,
but I firmly believe that there's one in there.
Okay, here's my point. I want to go with Kelly Jordan to Lake Fork, and I want to plan for that 20-pound fish, but he's going to have the capability of just smoking my gear in my hand. He's going to melt it. So let's go shopping. Let's build the perfect combo, the perfect system for hanging onto that fish. What are we going to do?
Well, you know, that's kind of an open question because there's a lot of different ways to catch a big bass. But if there was going to be one way, I'd say you definitely want a premium reel. And this is a reel with really strong drag that's a very smooth drag. Good gears. You want a pretty high retrieve ratio to be able to catch up to that fish if he's swimming towards you and then be able to hold on to it when it gets away and not overload your drag or break your line.
You say a pretty good fast gear ratio. What are we talking about?
At least a 6-to-1.
Okay.
You know, that's pretty much all I use, a 6.1-to-1 or 6.3-to-1, somewhere in that range or even higher. You want a fast reel that's nice and smooth. You know, a premium reel is perfect with a good drag. That's first and foremost. Second off, you need a really good rod. My favorite rods right now are Duckett Micro Magic rods. They have micro guides on them, and they're very strong and sensitive. Because of those micro guides, you have a lot of sensitivity, so you can feel that fish when he bites. Plus, they're a very strong rod that helps you set the hook and land that bass. Rod is important. I would probably go with a 7 to 7.5 foot rod, probably a medium heavy or a heavy action rod, and that covers a lot of different techniques.
And what are we going to spool on this thing?
Line size. You need a really strong line. I would probably, you know, it depends what you're using, so I guess I'll get to pick two. One of them would be 25-pound fluorocarbon line,
okay.
And that would be used on pretty much, you know, anything, soft plastics, jigs, spinner baits, chatter baits, you name it, you know, big baits like that, swim baits.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one would be braid. And a braid is if I was in really heavy cover or I was night fishing, I'd be using braided line. And I'd use at least a 50-pound braid, probably a 65.
Because warmer weather is here, would you remove the insulation from your attic that warmed you during the winter? Of course not.
We all rely on that same insulation to keep us cooler in the summer months. Hi, I'm Teresa Miskin.
And I'm Teresa's husband, Ron Miskin.
Together,
we are
the Buffalo Wool Company.
The Buffalo Wool Company harvests the insulating fiber from bison ranches all across this country.
We process, blend, and create the best quality and the most effective socks possible for both winter and summer.
The moisture-wicking properties of the buffalo fiber keeps your feet dry, holds down any bad bacteria, and testing shows that your feet will remain 3 to 5 degrees cooler than in a traditional cotton sock. These bison socks are tough and extremely long-lasting as well.
Crew socks, compression socks, boot socks, ankle socks, adult and kid sizes, all from the longest lasting, hardest working, truly insulating fiber that insulates the buffalo.
Please check us out at thebuffalowoolco.com.
Weatherford Truck Equipment has been supplying premium truck accessories and equipment since 1997. Chip Knees and the crew at Weatherford Truck Equipment are pros that can totally equip your farm, work, or town truck to totally suit your needs. Flatbeds, grill guards, bumpers, bed covers, toolboxes, hitches, running boards, or any custom fabrication that you can scheme up for your truck. Weatherford Truck Equipment is located at 2620 Ranger Highway in Weatherford, Texas, just 20 minutes west of Fort Worth. Visit online at weatherfordtruck.com and take a look at the exceptional quality in our truck accessories and customized metal fabrication. Ranch truck, service truck, special purpose truck, it's all at Weatherford Truck Equipment. Contact Chip and set up an appointment to talk over your truck accessory or custom fabrication needs. Weatherford Truck Equipment, 2620 Ranger Highway in Weatherford.
No doubt, as you travel the highways, pastures, and arenas across our great nation, you've probably taken notice of those beautiful NRS trailers, complete with all that you need, from tack storage to air conditioning in your fully equipped living space. NRS Trailers, born in cowboy country, Decatur, Texas, home to champions. We wanted to build the best trailer on the road, one that would satisfy our own high demands of quality. We did. And now, NRS Trailers is one of North America's largest premier trailer builders. In fact, there's an NRS trailer location just ahead. You'll find us in Decatur and Willis, Texas, Ocala, Florida, Oklahoma City, Fort Scott, Kansas, and Wickenburg, Arizona. From horse and stock trailers with living quarters to flatbeds and car haulers, back up to the safest, most dependable trailers on the road. We can even finance it for you at NRS Trailers. NRSTrailers.com. If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com.
We knew you were coming when we heard your truck rattle across that old cattle guard. Welcome to our camp at Kender Outdoors.
Presented to you by Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider.
Hey, welcome back to the Kender Outdoors Camp House. Drop by the Camp House website this week. Leave us a note. Let us know where you are and how you listen. KinderOutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R. You can also give us a call anytime, 877-820-BBKO, 877-820-2256. Joe Masacchio, my dear friend, Joe Masacchio has Cinnamon Creek Ranch just north of Fort Worth, Texas. Quite a complex he's got there, a world-class archery facility, event center, and incredible wild game processing. Joe, just because it's not deer season doesn't mean there's not tasty things to put in the freezer this time of year.
No, actually, if you're going out there filling your feeders or you're going to go shoot exotics or turkeys or anything of that sort, I mean, all the way to June or even 4th of July sometimes that, you know, people bring stuff in. Yeah. So,
what are some things we can do with a hog? I try to always keep a Cinnamon Creek feral hog in my freezer. What are some things that we can do with our hogs?
Well, basically you can do everything we do with a deer with a hog, and we've limited the number of items that you could do. So, you know, because the hogs, they don't normally have that much meat on them. The ribs are always good, and people don't think so, but you know, we do the taco meat and breakfast sausage, which is the big seller, and then we do these hog stickers, which are like Hawaiian steak on a stick, which is really good. Kids love them. So, yeah, the tamales are really a great hit, and they're really easy to serve. They take less than 4 minutes to cook them in a microwave, or you can steam them. I wouldn't put them in the oven because you dry them out, but if you steam them, it's just like you just made them.
Yeah.
And all the sausages, I mean, the jalapeno cheese and, you know, brats, all that kind of stuff. So
I love your German sausage and your taco meat. I've noticed it's pre-season. We don't add anything at home. We just fry it up and go.
Now, it almost looks like turkey when you're cooking the hog taco meat. It's really good.
Yeah. You know, a lot of guys don't like to put the bow up after the season. They like to go hunt exotics. I'm one of those guys. Killed a big, nice axis deer last year and a fallow deer the year before that. Some of our better-tasting exotics, Joe, would be what?
I would put axis deer at the top of the list, which you would probably agree with as far as pure meat, getting steaks and stuff like that back from. And Nelgai's another one. I mean, those are the two best-eating exotics there are. When you get into the fallows and the sikas and the black buck and stuff like that, they're a little more gamey, and the meat's a little bit darker than normal. So,
some of that darker, gamier meat, what can we do to take that gamey out? What can you guys do for us with our fallow deer, for example? What do you recommend?
The fallow we usually do more spicy stuff, even like an audette or something like that. the hot links and the Italians and anything smoked that's got a little bit of spice to it will kind of kick that a little bit, because we're mixing it with 85% lean pork, which takes away a lot of that. And when once we get rid of the fat, that helps a whole bunch also.
When you come to Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing, it's different than any other place I've ever been. I don't know how many places I've had a white-tail deer taken care of in my lifetime. But the first time I came here, I said, wow, this is different. What makes you guys different?
We know what to take away from the deer to make it the very best. And that meaning get rid of all the blood that's on it, all the fat that's on it. And it's hard to season raw meat, and that's what we're really, really good at. Our bacon-wrapped fillets are probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to a wild game piece of meat that's out there. And it doesn't matter what it is. You could serve it to anybody and they'll say, wow, that's a great fillet, but it's wild game.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought you were lying to me the first time I took my Cinnamon Creek bacon-wrapped fillets home. It was a white-tailed deer. I said, we're eating beef. Joe's pulled the wool over our eyes. It's amazing. There's zero wild taste in anything I've ever dropped off with you.
Yeah, I think because the way we season them, and then we cryovac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit, and everybody, if you'll cook them just like a regular fillet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference. I've done it to hundreds of people.
I'm so proud to be a life member of the Dallas Safari Club, and there's a chapter near you. Look them up. Visit a meeting or a banquet. Be a part of something really special in the conservation world. My taxidermist is Roy Holdridge, True Life Taxidermy, Granbury, Texas, and we're talking to him about preserving our big game animals from the field to Roy's studio.
Somebody shoots something pretty nice and they think, I want to take that to True Life and let Roy work his magic on that. What's the first thing we need to do with that animal regarding the pelt, the horns, taking care of it to bring it into you?
Well, you need to get it field dressed as quick as you can. And then the very next thing is you need to get it cool as quick as you can. And here in Texas, obviously, a lot of times we go hunting, it's pretty warm out. And so that's you need to get it somewhere and get it cool.
Cooling? Are you obviously we're worried about that for our meat, but does that affect the hide as well?
Exactly, it does. You know, the hide's the same thing. Is I mean, you wouldn't want to eat that meat after it's been laying out on the hood for hours and hours in 100-degree weather, and neither would you want to try and mount it after it's been out there, because bacteria starts real quick, and then the hair will start slipping, and you won't have a very 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 pretty mount.
Yeah. What if we're a long ways off, we need to go ahead and cape that animal if we're going to be coming, like, from Montana to Texas to bring that animal to you?
Yes, it's good to go ahead and get it caped. Now, you can skin it all the way down to the, you know, the head and take the head off and get it all into, a cooler and get it. You don't have to completely cape it out, but you do need to get it cold. If there's a freezer available, freeze it. That's the best thing.
Freezing's not going to hurt my pelt.
No, it won't. It's actually very good. I mean, get it cold as fast as you can.
Yeah. When we cape that animal out and we're ready to make the drive from Wyoming to Granbury, Texas, to True Life Taxidermy, do we want to take special care with how we roll that pelt up? Do we want to avoid creases, crimps, bends, anything like that, or are we going to be okay?
No, on your big game, you're not. You just roll them up there. But again, get them cool. If you've got a big old elk or a bison or something like that, you need to get it cold. If you roll it all up, the heat will stay in there for a long time. So, yeah. I mean, keep it open long enough to get it good and cold. But once you get it all cold, you can roll it up and put it in something where it's not going to hurt it too bad to get it wet. But it's better if you separate the hide from the ice.
Okay, very good. Big plastic bag. Take that plastic bag with you guys. In recent years, I've noticed, and maybe this trend doesn't exist, maybe it's just me, but am I seeing more full-body mounts now than I used to years ago?
You know, we do a lot more full-body mounts. We really do. There's lots and lots of people do a lot of full-body mounts now.
If we're going to full-body mount, we're going to do some things differently, aren't we?
Yes, you would. If you're somewhere around anywhere close, it's best just to field dress it by putting as small of a cut as you can and get all of the integrals out and then just get it here fast. That's the best thing. But if you're in Montana, then you do need to skin the thing. And, you know, and you would just go right down the back of the leg. Some people, I don't know why they would cut up the front of them, but like on most animals, on the back of the leg, the hair will come from the front to the back, and it'll make a point there.
Yeah.
And if you'll just cut right in that on the back, open them right up the middle there and just skin them till you feel uncomfortable, you know, and cut the neck off and do the same thing as you would with a cape. Bring the whole thing in. You don't have to take the feet out. Just cut, you know, skin down as far as you feel comfortable, cut the leg off and leave the bone in there and bring them in and let us take care of that.
Bring every inch of hide that you can in one piece.
Right,
there
right, yes.
All out of time, but I want to thank you sincerely for hanging out with us today. I also want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together in this camp house and invite you back next time around. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch.